It's not just the entertainment of the suspense thriller, but it's also to get people to think about the choices that they're making in their lives and the ability for them to make changes before something happens. There comes a point in everybody's lives when they reach a crossroads. And during that period, you have to reevaluate who you are and your loyalties, because even chocolate has an expiration date.
Welcome to the True Fiction Project, a podcast series that explores the origins of fiction. Every week, we begin with an interview, nonfiction, followed by a creative piece, fiction, inspired by something from the interview. The idea is to demonstrate, of course, that fiction is born out of our life experiences. Now, here's your host, storyteller, author, public speaker, health and wellness expert, Renita Hora.
Welcome back to the True Fiction Project. I am your host, Renita Hora. And on today's episode, we have an American writer, entrepreneur, and an academic researcher. This is Rhonda Parker Taylor. Pretty diverse, huh, in terms of writing. Her writing spans from educational works to fiction. She is so well known for her research on emotional intelligence. My gosh, we always have these brilliant guests on the True Fiction Project. And her academic achievements extend to being a prominent leader presented at the United Nations Global Compact Committee. But today, she's here to talk about her debut novel, Crossroads, which is a suspenseful masterpiece. It was released February 2023. Hi, Rhonda. Welcome to the True Fiction Project.
Hello. I'm so excited about meeting with you guys and having a great conversation. You know, the one thing that I love about your podcast is you just really bring relevant conversations about fiction and all the wonderful things we like to get engrossed in for entertainment, just to escape. It's like having a dream in our hands when we get a good book, isn't it?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. A little narcissistic as that might sound. This being my podcast. But it's interesting that you touch upon that, Rhonda. I read a great article yesterday, albeit it was published in, I think, 2019. This was a New York Times article which said, "We are living in the golden age of historical fiction." And sure, that was about historical fiction, but true crime, which is a very, very popular genre, is in a sense, you know, the true crime stories, I should say, of today are fodder for tomorrow's historical fiction, right?
Exactly. Well, and as old as I am, I think that might be historical fiction.
We are all a part of living history, however old or young or, I don't know, new or old, whatever, however you want to define it. But so interesting to sort of delve into your writing. You're a writer, an entrepreneur, and an academic researcher. Tell me a little bit about the difference between those, or the overlay, perhaps, if that's relevant.
Oh, it definitely is, because my entrepreneur and business background is what kind of laid the foundation for the fiction writing, you know, and for the writing in general. First, I was never proficient at writing. When I was in business... And starting out, one of the reasons that I way back then said I want to write a novel and be a best-selling author is I had written a proposal to save the organization millions of dollars.
Which organization is this?
I think I better keep that in.
Okay. Got it.
And when I did it, my boss, who was a vice president, said it was a great proposal, but you used the wrong insurer. And of course there was, you know, there's no such thing as a perfect document, but I was mortified. And right then and there, I became committed that not only was I going to be a better employee in my writing and communication, but that I was also going to write the next best selling novel. Now, did I really have the confidence to know that that was going to happen? probably not at that phase. You know, it was just this burning desire because I loved to read and I loved to tell stories. So as I was nurturing myself and my skills, and I started working in other projects and other industries, those stories started developing. And then I started jotting them down one at a time. So Crossroads is the first of four that I've written. So the others are coming. But I decided what I wanted to do with the entrepreneurial part of it. I backed away from business and I got my doctorate in business. So I wanted to do the academic approach to things and teach others and use that mentorship part of me. And so I left corporate America to do academics. But life always has a different story for you. My adopted son at the time was tragically murdered at work. And I was in the midst of, it's almost like I wrote a story that's fiction. And then as my life continued from right after writing, my life almost paralleled to it. And it was like, almost like I predicted, even though, you know, the female character's not me and the murder of a 15-year-old girl, not a young man that's in his adulthood life, but the emotions were there. And I got to see then that, okay, wait a minute, I need to completely redefine my life, not just in academics, but I opened up my consulting and started writing regularly, not only in academics, but in the emotional intelligence and but also, you know, refining my writing in general at it, from the fiction perspective. So they all came together, really. And I think that most people out there off the air, we were talking and one of your staff members was talking about he'd like to write a novel himself. And,
good
you know,
for him.
A lot of us have stories out there.
Yeah.
You know? And my advice to all the audience, if you have a story, write it. Doesn't yes. matter if it's 10 pages, 25 pages, 100 pages, sit down and write it. One page a day and a novel's done in a year.
You have really hit on something. Firstly, I am so sorry to hear about your son. That is
Thanks.
Just, oh my
Thank
gosh.
You.
And this thing that you mentioned, I completely resonate with it because I have experienced myself as woo-woo as it sounds, this reality where I write something and then after that, it comes to life. It's happened once, twice, three times, multiple times in my life. I remember first telling my husband about it and he thought I was completely out there. And then he saw it happen to the extent where he said, actually, you know, sometimes I got some really dark ideas of things to write about. He actually said to me, don't. Do it.
Yeah, because it might come true.
So
it's like you're in your
intuition,
essence.
In essence,
your karma,
manifesting your things,
your spirituality, maybe your connection to the world is connected in the art. When you're putting it down in paper, it's not that you're solidifying that. But I think that's also why I don't go in when my writing is more reality. There's enough bad and good in reality to not go into the fantasy. I love reading it.
Yep.
But me too. I could never write a King novel like that because it's so detailed into things that maybe my mind shouldn't entertain.
Right. Right. So your story, your debut novel, Crossroads, was endorsed by Mariel Hemingway, a Golden Globe nominated actress. How did that happen? You have to share this with us.
First of all, I would have to say for those in the younger generation that's part of your audience, Mariel Hemingway has a huge history. You would think of her as one of those people, today she would be more like the Lopez or one of the younger generations that she's an Academy Award-winning actress. She was a model. Her sister was famous, one of the highest paid models. And her grandfather is Ernest Hemingway, the great novelist.
And of all time. Oh, one of them.
All times. No, yeah. You have to read it in every literature class as you're growing up. The Old Man and the Sea.
Anywhere in the world. Exactly.
Anywhere. So I would never have thought that that would happen for me. It wasn't like she was a neighbor or, you know, somebody that I knew her. I was working with my publisher, who's Mindster Media, and the rep that I was working with there, the agent, said, you know, you really should consider getting Merrill Hemingway to read this. First, I was like, well, if I was going to have an endorser, wouldn't you want like a Tori Spelling or somebody that's in the genre of suspense? She's like, no, you need Merrill Hemingway, because her whole life is parallel to Paris Pennington.
Oh.
Your main character. She said, you know, she had excellence in her bones. She, you know, worked hard, but she had to find life balance at a point in her life to protect her own mental health and ability to thrive in adulthood. And I thought, well, that makes sense. So what do I do to get her to consider it? And they said, first, write a query letter. We'll deliver it to her people with a copy of your manuscript. And then we can start some negotiations if she decides to. And she released a video on YouTube after she read it, recommending it before we'd even gotten it to the press. And the one thing that she said that showed me that it resonated with her and was at the very end, she said, you know, there comes a point in everybody's lives when they reach a crossroads. And during that period, you have to reevaluate who you are and your loyalties, because even chocolate has an expiration date. And I thought, she got it. She got the whole journey. So my hope for the reader is that they realize it's not just the entertainment of the suspense thriller, but it's also to get people to think about the choices that they're making in their lives and the ability for them to make changes before something happens. In this case, not making the changes causes the drama, the trauma, and the suspense throughout the whole book. However, in Paris's case, it could have been deadly, and it could be in ours if we're not making the wise decision.
Absolutely. My goodness, there is so much here. I cannot wait to actually myself devour this from cover to cover. But in the meantime, I know that you have an excerpt that you're going to read for us today for our listeners. So tell us about what that is before we dive into it.
Sure. So I picked up an excerpt from the beginning of the book, but not the first page. The first page is the actual scene of the crime. And I want that to resonate with the readers in a different way. I pull them in as they start to read. But I picked one. It's kind of the second scene. And it's choices that a young man made that got him involved. And so I kind of felt like it would really kind of set up the idea of we are not only who we are with and surround ourselves with, but our choices that we make. So,
Rhonda, before we actually go into the fiction piece, do let us know where our listeners can find your work, buy your book, social media, any details you would like to give us.
I would love to. My name is Rhonda Parker Taylor. I try to make it as easy as possible because I'm one of those people, if I don't have it easy, I won't remember it. So my website is rhondaparkertaylor.com. All my social media is on there. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, TikTok. I'm trying. Haven't gotten my personality on there yet quite right, but I'll get it for you. LinkedIn. And feel free to drop me a comment and I try to respond. Give me grace if it goes to the spam because it doesn't know you. Follow me and let's go on the journey together.
Super. Thank you, Rhonda.
Thank you for having me.
That was Rhonda Parker Taylor. She is an American writer, entrepreneur, and academic researcher, reading from her debut novel, Crossroads. And this is the True Fiction Project. I am your host, Renita Hora.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
And now to the premise of the True Fiction Project, which of course is to create fiction out of nonfiction.
I should have known something was up. Billy Neckel had known Pee-wee his whole life. Why do I always trust him? He shouldn't. Pee-wee was always in trouble, but now Billy was in trouble with him, and he had no idea what to do. Even thinking about Pee-wee sent waves of panic through his bones. Billy sat upright in his bed and ripped down his matted hair. His hungover body was hardly able to function due to the drugs and alcohol he had consumed at the party. He stretched, wincing in pain. His mother had been right. He should have stayed away from Pee-wee long ago. Dear God, let him leave me alone. He tried to convince himself that the images was just a dream, but he remembered Pee-wee winking and saying, "Stay here, we'll be right back." Billy hit the back of his head against the wall. No way. Why me? He wished he could undo the last few days, starting with the moment he agreed to ride with Pee-wee and the girl. "Billy, want to take a ride with us?" Pee-wee had asked. "I might even share." His immediate response is, "Why not?" A little action sounded like fun. Besides, Pee-wee always joked about him not getting past first base with girls. He hadn't even been prepared for the screams, the gushing of the blood, the sudden quietness after she died. The pictures reeling in his head were like a horror movie. As he sat in the bed, he imagined the animals hiding in their dens, silent witnesses to the crime. "How did I get home?" Pulling himself out from the sheets, he moved towards the bathroom. "Whose clothes am I wearing?" he wondered as he paused for a second at the mirror. He rubbed his hands over the rough, unshaven face. His eyes were bloodshot and swollen half shut. "Look at you," he said out loud. He turned on the water with a shaking hand. "Flow with it and don't be afraid." He had convinced himself that it would be all right, but he winced at the thought of what he'd seen, heard, and felt. He tested the water temperature and the warmth ran through his fingers. He looked down. Blood. No more blood. Please, no more blood. He remembered the images. "Oh my God, what have I done?" The screams echoed in his head. "Stop, I can't think." He pounded his head with his fist as the images played over and over, starting with the walk in the woods. Trick, trick, trick. That sounds, oh, my bass. The sound led him back to the present. He plunged his hunched body into the tub of water and lathered the soap, then began delivering all the vital parts of the body, even the crevice between the rolls in his midsection. He was the only 21, but the drugs and alcohol had destroyed the best of him. "Don't be afraid, and for heaven's sakes, don't panic. Everything's gonna be all right." He grabbed the towel and moved to the bedroom, wiping the water off his back. Sunlight poured through the dusty blinds, leaving a copper hue in the room. Billy pulled on a pair of shorts and headed to the kitchen. "Let them catch Pee-wee before he hurts me." He opened the refrigerator, leftover pizza, beer, eggs, and ketchup. He grabbed a cold beer and went back to the bed. Sitting down, he pressed the can tightly against his forehead. The coolness lessened the pounding, but it didn't lessen the headache. It was one of those rare occasions when taking his own life was more alluring than living. He looked around the small room in search of a way to leave the pain behind. As he looked, he knew he wouldn't end his life. He didn't have the courage to hurt a fly, let alone kill himself. He'd call his mother. She would know what to do.
Here at the True Fiction Project, we're always looking for great stories that make for compelling fiction. So if you have a great story or know someone who does, or if you're a writer who'd like to be featured on the show, then please do get in touch with us at runita.com/contact. And if you haven't signed up for our newsletter, then you can do so by visiting substack.com/@RunitaHora, all spelled out one word. That's substack.com/@RENITAHORA. I'll be offering paid subscribers something a little extra special each time, including a video version of this podcast.